Hi, this is Ananda, president of the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. What follows is a Sunday talk recorded at our temple. Every Sunday, we invite the public for meditation, a talk, and a vegetarian lunch. We'd love for you to join us. More information is available at isconofdc.org. That's ISKCON of DC.org. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the talk.
Recently, we all participated in Gaura Purnima, and we certainly during Gaura Purnima heard the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's on our altar to the left, our left. He's the giver of the Yuga Dharma. The Yuga Dharma, or the primary means of achieving the goal of life, spiritual perfection in life, is the congregational chanting of the holy name. So here we have this Maha mantra, according to the Upanishads, Kali Sanartana Upanishad. It's the, of all mantras, in this age of Kali, it's the most effective mantra, exactly as presented here, for deliverance from material existence to the stage of transcendence, or being forever united in our eternal loving relationship with Krishna, the primary means. So it's the topic is japa, and I was asked to give like a little summary of what I'd like to speak about, so that was helpful. And so here's a little description of, the color isn't coming out, but that's okay. What's the need of chanting daily? Because sometimes people say, yeah, I chant. When I feel inspired, I chant. And sometimes I don't feel inspired, and so I don't chant. But I feel inspired often. And so is there some, what's the reason for chanting daily? Touch on that. And some helpful hints or ways to improve the quality of our chanting. Okay, that's a huge topic, so this is the water sprinkling from the conch. Just some messages, touching on some messages. And then I can share this with you, maybe one of the top five questions as a traveling sannyasi that I'm asked. It's, the language goes a little differently each time, but it's, when will that day come when I'll be able to go beyond mechanical chanting and actually experience a transformation of heart? And, you know, what the goal of chanting is meant to give, when will that day come? So that's that question. We'll just touch on that question again, not exhaustively, but touching on the question. So circling back to the first one, why do we need to chant the Maha Mantra daily? There are many verses in the scripture that glorify appropriately this process of chanting specifically for the age of Kali. And here's one of them, directly spoken by Suta Goswami in relation to, Shukadeva Goswami. Even the person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of the bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord, I underlined, even once. So find somebody that you don't know and ask them to say Krishna's name. Sometimes they can't or won't. But at least according to Shukadeva Goswami, even once. One can be delivered from all bondage of all material existence, even just once chanting. So that should be enough, right? Just say Hari Bol and move on. It's not an exaggeration. The potency of Nija Sarva Shaktis, in the language of Mahaprabhu, all the spiritual potencies of Krishna are packed up and each and every name. Nam nam akari bahuta. And there's so many names. And each one of those names has all, how can you describe all of Krishna's potencies? I mean, how could you even think of? Take something of the material world, something very powerful in the material world, like the sun. How much potency is there in the sun? Since the beginning of the universe till the end of the universe, the sun is giving how much energy? And it just keeps giving energy and giving energy, and that's just the energy of the sun in one universe. Get the idea? Just keep going and going, and there's the spiritual potencies, unlimited. And unlimited potency is there in each and every one of Krishna's name, because the name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. So it should be just once, right? One might think. However, there's, as you know, there's a problem. And the problem is the heart. And the heart has contamination within it. Or given the language of Jiva Goswami, when the son of the holy name enters into the heart, there's a beautiful verse by Rupa Goswami. When the holy name is chanted, Krishna is dancing within your mouth. And when then Rupa Goswami says, I then desire many, many mouths. And then the sound of Krishna's name enters in the ear. There's so much nectar. Who can say, I then wish to have millions of ears? That would look funny. But to drink in the nectar through the ear, after the nectar through the mouth, and then the holy name enters into the chamber of the heart in that sequence. And Rupa Goswami says his experience is when the holy name enters the chamber of the heart, the mind becomes stunned and the senses become inert. Mind and sense control, meditation, right? Through, if you're Rupa Goswami. But if you're not Rupa Goswami, you're like the rest of us, then there's other things in the heart. Jiva Goswami's language is, there's clouds of anarthas and mist of ignorance, avidya. The root cause of all misery or suffering is ignorance. So the mist of ignorance is compounded by the clouds of anarthas. Anarthas are things unwanted, artha and anartha, things unwanted in the heart. So I'm just going to touch on the topic because there's not time to explain it all. That's what's in the heart. So when the sun of the holy name enters into the heart, our hearts, the power of the sun is blocked by the clouds of anarthas and the mist of ignorance. And so the potency of the holy name isn't diminished, the sun of the holy name isn't diminished, but the heart is clouded and in a condition of ignorance. And therefore one needs to chant the name again and again, repetition. Jiva Goswami refers to two verses from Vedanta Sutra. For those of you that are a little familiar, Vedanta Sutra has four parts. The first two deal with the relationship of all things with the source of emanation of all things, the Absolute Truth. And part three, the third section of four, deals with acting within that relationship. And the final one is the fruit of acting within that relationship with the Supreme. So this reference comes from there, 4.1.1, the very first text, Vedanta Sutra text in the fourth part. Avatir Asakrit Upadeshat, which means all the rest of us except Rupa Goswami and Shukadeva Goswami and such perfected souls, sadhana should be repeated since scriptures teach that one must engage many times, or repetition, avrati, that's the first word. Repetition is necessary. Now, why is repetition necessary? This is taken from commentary, Baladeva Vidyasan's commentary, Govinda Bhashya. He says, because scriptures say so. It must be done many times. Upadeshat asakrit. Why? The result of knowledge, that knowledge arises from bhakti. So if you're engaged in devotional service, just being here at the temple, that's you're engaged in devotional service. Congratulations. By some devotional service and the acceleration of devotional service, knowledge that's dormant within awakens. So knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is a fruit of the tree of bhakti. So knowledge, which dispels ignorance, that is, seeing the Supreme Lord, is a result that can be seen in this life. Hearing in other processes should be repeated until that result is attained. Just as one repeatedly beats rice until the rice is visibly free from the husk. This is Baladeva's commentary saying, so you're a rice farmer, and you know inside the stalk there's a kernel of rice. So the thrashing of the rice, you do it again and again and again and again and again until the rice loosens from the husk. Then you're done. But you don't do it once and say, okay, I'm done. Till the rice becomes loosened from the husk. Similarly, the potency of chanting Krishna's name, the potency of Krishna's name in the process of contacting that potency is going to give the result. But you may do it again and again and again until the result comes. And the result takes some time because, as mentioned, the heart doesn't receive the fullness of the holy name because of clouds of anartas and the mist of ignorance. So now here's the very next verse. This is, I'm a follower of Jiva Goswami. I'm a Jiva Goswami fan, so my apologies. Because he's learned everything from Rupa Goswami, who learned everything from Lord Chaitanya, who is the giver of the holy name. So we're just following them. The very next sutra in Vedanta Sutra, really short, Lingachcha. Is that clear? Lingachcha means repetition is required because of indications of scriptures, repeating the previous one with a different detail. And the commentary says, indication is, it must be done just like Brighu. In the example of Brighu, Brighu approached his father, Varuna, for teachings. But his father, Varuna, had already given the teachings. And this is in Vedic times where they could remember things. But he went back and asked again, and asked again, and asked again, because repetition is sometimes necessary for clear understanding. This is directly a Taittiriya Upanishad reference. So repetition is required because there's offenses, not only in this life, previous lifetimes. There's a whole baggage of the remains of our past offenses that we're carrying around in our heart. And therefore, the power of the holy name is being blocked by those offenses, and therefore repetition, repetition, until the rice loosens from the husk or until the heart becomes cleansed. And then we can experience the fullness of Krishna, the fruit. And therefore, there's this process that Rupa Goswami calls sadhana, sadhana bhakti. We practice, like anything else that you ride a bicycle, you practice, or learn to drive a car, you practice, or anything. So in spiritual life, there's also practice that, done properly, brings the rice loosened from the husk. It brings the intended purpose. We're going to come back to this, what I just said, towards the end, hopefully. So One other very nice reference, evidence of this statement, this is the philosophical description of why, very important description of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were already at the stage of perfection, but they also, to teach by example, they made vow or vrata that they would chant a certain number of rounds, or they would pay a certain number of obeisances each day, or they would circumambulate Govardhan Hill a certain number of times each day, upholding vow. Haridas Thakur, the acharya of the chanting of the holy name, kept a vow that every day he would chant, let's see, many of us chant 16 rounds. So 16 times 4 times 3, 12 times what we chant every day. That's a lot of chanting. And he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't do anything until he completed his vow. Although he was at the stage of perfection, that this wonderful pastime at the final stage of his life, he was elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so ill in the older stage of his life. He was so sad he couldn't complete his chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and brought him prasad straight from Lord Jagannath. And he said, no, I haven't completed my chanting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't need to complete your chanting. You're at the stage of perfection. And besides, this is Mahaprasad. You can't say no. You have to say yes. Say yes. So he took a little piece of Mahaprasad and said, I must complete my chanting. That's an acharya who doesn't need purification, and we need purification. So the necessity of chanting daily is we need purification. And I'm going to make one other reference, then I'm going to move on to the part two. When Jiva Goswami discusses this topic that I'm sharing with you right now, he very interestingly makes reference to Patanjali Muni. Some of you know about Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So he's not a Vaishnava, but Jiva Goswami would reach over there and take gold where he found it. And here's the gold. So the gold is in Patanjali Yoga Sutras. He gives a definition of what is sadhana, because we're talking about why every day, sadhana. He says that there's, in any system of yoga or discipline or meditation, as Ananda Vrindavan is making reference to, there's three criteria in order for it to be considered sadhana. One, every day. Two, sustained over a period of time. There's Sanskrit terms for these. And third is with contemplation or meditation upon the benefit or the purpose or the intention of that practice. So it's not just a behavior, but it's the consciousness behind the behavior. And that is the three criterion for sadhana. And so we practice because our intentions just, they're a little mixed. We have some intention to be with Krishna, and we have some other intentions that are our own, that are not necessarily Krishna wants them for us, but we want them. There's a mix, material and spiritual, within the heart. And so therefore, intention needs to be refined and refined and continued. So every day, and work on it. Not just the mechanical performance, but the heart performance. So that's the third point. Now, what are some of the ways to help us improve the quality of our chanting? Many, if not most, perhaps not everybody here, but most of us are regularly chanting. So how to improve that? We already got part one down. We should do it regularly. What are some of the ways to improve? So this you need like an ocean, not just a bowl that you pour the conch water into. There's an ocean of messages of how to improve. But I'll share one thing at the very beginning. And this is from Another one of our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says, the methods are less important than the intention and the commitment to improve. That's the key. You can apply this, you can apply that or the other thing, and they're all wonderful. And they're powered or fueled or charged by the commitment to improve. That your relationship with Krishna, essentially. Strengthen and deepen your relationship with Krishna. That's the key. So now, some of the ways, fueled by the intention to improve, is prayer. Universal. It's one of the nine processes of bhakti. It follows behind shravanam kirtanam, or hearing and chanting, and bandhanam, or prayer, follows. So I'm just going to touch on some beautiful prayers. You can make your own prayer, or you can take standard prayers or combination. And prayer is a way of, you know, communicating, communing, or connecting the soul with the Supreme Soul. So here's just some really nice examples of great acharyas who have offered different prayers to Krishna in the form of his holy name. So here, we'll start with Rupa Goswami, because we're Rupanugas, or followers of Rupa Goswami. I like this. This is of eight, the Ashtakam, Nam Ashtakam, the first one. Oh, Hari Nam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. Just stop and go over that one. Did you know that the holy name has toes? That he has toes because he has feet. He has feet because he has form. And he has form because he's a person. That's for, therefore Nama Prabhu. Oh, Harinam is a person. And not only his feet, not only his toes, but the tips of his toes are being worshipped by what? By the glowing radiance emanating from the crown jewels of all the Vedas. So imagine a king has a treasury, and of the treasury has many valuables, and best amongst all the valuables is the crown jewels. And the crown jewels have radiance, and the radiance of the crown jewels of the Vedas is reaching, trying to touch the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. Beautiful poetry, huh? Amongst the Vedas, the Upanishads are revered. And within those jewels, there's the crown jewels, and their effulgence is reaching for the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. That's the goal. That's what they're glorifying. That's how wonderful is the holy name. And then the second part, you, oh Harinam, you are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. So that means the liberated souls are worshipping that which is fully liberated. They're not worshipping anything of this world. They're worshipping that which is Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, eternally liberated, being worshipped by those who are already liberated. So those of us that aren't already liberated, we follow those that are liberated, or those that are perfected souls. And that's Rupa Goswami is one such person. Oh, Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. And there's another seven prayers that follow. And his elder brother, Rupa Goswami's elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, honors the holy name this way, taken directly from his writing, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. From the early verses, the Mangalacharna verses. All glories, to the all-blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation, and worship, when somehow or other uttered even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. There it is again. How powerful. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. Literally, he's renounced everything of the world, but he has the best thing, the holy name. That's Sanatan Goswami. Then here's Shukadeva Goswami. The list isn't too long. These are just some beautiful prayers that are ways to help improve the quality, the shelter taking of the holy name. Appreciate what the holy name is and how great souls have taken shelter and follow them. Just hold on to their dhoti or the tip of their finger, and like a little child holding on to daddy's hand, and just go with them. O King, that's Shukadev here. Whoops. Shukadev seated, speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. I want to share something. I'm going to take a little risk here and expand my talk by something anecdotal. One of the places that I have been visiting for the past, 8 years is China. And 2 visits ago, I was in Shenzhen, China. And a devotee that I know there has a friend who's a millionaire. I have several friends that are millionaires, and one of them wanted to meet me. I don't know why they wanted to meet me. I found out why later. And so we're sitting together, and I ask, why do you want to meet me? Well, you're the guru of my friend here, and I just want to know, keeping it simple, moving her hands in the air like this, I have a sense of making a connection with some higher power, and that higher power has given me direction, how I can become successful in business, and my motivation for being successful in business is the happiness of compassion. I formerly was a Buddhist, but I'm not even a Buddhist anymore. I just want to be compassionate. So I thought maybe you can help me become successful in business. I tried on knocking on the door and going through the basement and through the chimney and through the window and trying to, help this person understand that the source that's giving intelligence is a person. She folded her hands like this and said, "I don't want to go there. Don't even try to take me there. I don't get this person thing." So I simply said, I was thinking of this verse and said, "Let me just give you this nice mantra. I think it will help you." Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta. So it was a nice conversation and ended up with giving her the holy name. I don't know if she chanted, but at least when I was there, she chanted at least once. Because on the authority of Shukadev Goswami, even once, the potency is there. Such a powerful... So, as much as we can understand the power of the holy name, it gives us inspiration, yes? If we think it is ordinary, take it or leave it, or so-so. Here's another verse spoken by Shukadev Goswami. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. So we need to come to the human society platform, not just by birth, but by quality, and then take to the chanting of the holy name. Then, I think this is the last one. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize that all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So the hoofprint of a calf certainly can contain some water, but the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to an ocean is very inconsequential. So we want happiness and the happiness to be derived from our connection with Krishna through the chanting of the holy name is an ocean of bliss. Just discussing with somebody yesterday. They want happiness. Where is it? It's at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. Now, there's many such. I like verses. Here, one favorite verse, I'll do it quickly. It's just nice. I'll just share it anyways because time is running. This is Uddhava, after hearing from Krishna, Uddhava Gita, he speaks about the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. And he speaks it this way. My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella, very interesting umbrella, that pours down showers of delicious nectar. You ever seen an umbrella like that? There's another example in the scripture, but an umbrella is meant to block the rain from falling on your head. But the lotus feet of Krishna blocks the rain of the downpour of the miseries of material existence. But inside, there's a little fine sprinkling inside the umbrella of nectar. Little drops. You don't get drenched, but little drops of nectar. The lotus feet of the Lord, Uddhava is comparing to like that. On the one hand, they block the miseries of material existence. On the other hand, they give showers of nectar. Isn't that nice? Very poetic. This is the nature of Krishna's holy name. Jiva Goswami says, the holy name is so nice that when Krishna hears the mantra being chanted, even the first syllable of his name, Krish, immediately Krishna himself becomes attracted. You capture Krishna's attention. Now, that's really nice because aren't we distracted when we chant? I know a devotee that says, Maharaj, as soon as I put my hand in my bead bag, my mind starts going all over the place. I take my hand out of my bead bag, it becomes calm again. And I put my hand back in my bead bag and it's all over the place. What am I doing wrong? I'm really distracted. But on Krishna's side, how merciful is Krishna? Even just the first syllable in Krishna's attention is attracted. That's Krishna, who's not different than his name. So we just have to be intention-driven of trying to be attentive. It's a key for improving how you take shelter of the holy name. A little discussion with Vaisheshika Prabhu, many of you. Has he visited here in Potomac? Yes, okay. Wonderful Vaishnav, yes? Vaisheshika Prabhu. So one discussion with him, it's semantic kind of, but you know, the discussion was, where there's intention, that's where your attention goes. Because he has this phrase, where attention goes, energy flows. You've heard him say that one? Where attention goes, so like pay attention to book distribution, Just pay attention to book distribution. There goes energy. It flows. Book distribution increases. Where attention goes, energy flows. So where does attention go? It's where your intention is. And that's the beginning of the next topic. The next topic is how to chant from the heart. We'll come back to intention. There's a nice phrase, that's the nature of Krishna and the nature of Krishna's devotee. This is a description of the term mamata, where Lord Vishnu speaks to Durvasa Muni about his dear devotee Maharaj Ambarish. The pure devotee, in this case Ambarish, but anyone who becomes a pure devotee, is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. That's love. And love that's pure is on the spiritual platform, that it's in relation to Krishna and in relation to Krishnas. A nice example of this, it's given by Jiva Goswami, comes from Vishnu Sahasranam. And it's one of the Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And one of those names of Vishnu is Vasumana. Mana means mind, and Vasu, in this case, refers to Grandfather Bhishma. And in his commentary, Baladeva explains a pastime. There's a pastime where Yudhisthira Maharaj was being visited in Hastinapur by Krishna. So every morning, after performing his morning duties, he would go and greet Krishna. But when it came time to greet Krishna, one morning he saw Krishna in meditation. So he didn't want to disturb his meditation, so he waited. And he had a long wait because Krishna was meditating and meditating and meditating, and finally his meditation ended. Then Yudhisthira came before him and paid his respects. And then he asked Krishna, "What were you meditating on? May I ask?" He said, "I was meditating on Grandfather Bhishma." And the explanation is, greatly afflicted and lying on the bed of arrows, Bhishma Dev remembered me at the last stage of his life. Because of his remembrance of me, O best of men, I now always remember him. Thus, Vasu Mana. It's one of the names of Krishna or Vishnu, Vasu Mana. He's always remembering those who always remember him. So if you're always forgetting Krishna, well, it's not the same. I mean, Krishna doesn't say, heck with you. But in fact, Krishna is paying attention as Supersoul. Bhakti means that we take shelter of Krishna. What does it mean to chant from the heart? This is in different ways this question is asked. And it's in contrast to just making a sound. Here's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta says, little statement, short statement. Chanting is more than making a sound. You can train a parrot to make a sound. Or you can make a machine that makes the sound. So chanting is more than that. Little anecdotal, there was a parrot that they posted on the first floor, above the ground floor, in Mayapur, in the Lotus Building, right at the top of the stairs, and everyone would go by, knew the parrot would respond, so you just say, Haribol, and the parrot would go, Haribol. And then you have a whole crowd of people saying, Haribol, Haribol. And then they trained him to say, Radhe. So the devotees would say, Radhe. And the parrot would respond. He didn't get him to say Krishna. I don't know if that was too difficult for him. Those two he had down. But one day there was a hailstorm, and he didn't chant Haribol and Radhe. He was squawk, squawk, squawk. So it was not from the heart. It was just a sound. So sometimes our chanting is like that, just a sound. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, chanting of the pure holy name is from the heart you call out, "Oh, Lord Nityananda, you are the deliverer of the pure holy name, and I am most unfortunate. I have no attraction for the pure holy name. Kindly bestow your mercy upon me." And then, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, bestowing his mercy, the pure holy name touches the heart. And then, from the same lips and the same tongue, comes the holy name, the pure holy name. That is chanting. Big contrast, yeah? So, it requires, there's many things to say, but the antidote, the medicine that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives is, it begins with humility. Trinadapi. When I have Durdaivam Idrishim Hajini Nano Raga. I don't have any raga. I don't have any attraction. So I chant, but I chant without attraction. We're distracted. Or mechanical chanting. So this position of humility is required. One of the ways that distracts from humility is being attached to the temporary. Many of you are familiar with Queen Kunti's prayers. In two successive verses, she uses the phrase akinchana gotram and akinchana vitaya. Akinchana refers to one who has no material shelter. I'm not finding or seeking for happiness in something temporary. The thirst for happiness in the temporary is gone. She says here, if one doesn't have that quality, but finds happiness, searching for happiness in janma, high birth, aishvarya, opulence, shruta, high education, and shri, or beauty, and one hankers and aspires for happiness in those ways, such person cannot feelingly from the heart call for Krishna. It cannot approach Krishna with sincere feeling. So, that's part of humility. It's letting go of the false expectation for happiness through things that are temporary. Now, it doesn't mean you have to become a sannyasi or renunciate or a tyagi or a nagababa or something. You may accept those things, just as the Upanishads advise us. Take those things that are you're required and accept them as your quota given by the Supreme. And don't hanker for or aspire for other things. Live contented with what comes naturally. Work honestly. Apply yourself in a proper manner, performing the duties of life. But not specifically that's my happiness. It's the performance of duties for the worldly part while cultivating the spiritual part. Then you can feelingly call to the Supreme Lord. There it is again. Again, akinchana, in this case, vitaya. Here it's impoverished. And it has to do with the sense of proprietorship or possessiveness or attachment to things temporary. It's not, not that you have to become a renunciate. It's recognize the proprietor of everything is the Supreme. That's who we're indebted to. And we're using, because he's the proprietor, we use whatever we have, our iPad or our cell phone or our home or whatever it is that you have. You use in Krishna service and not otherwise. That's what it means. Srila Prabhupada's phrase of calling very feelingly, very easy to understand the calling of a child for the mother. Sometimes it's blood-curdling. And there's only one shelter, and that's mother. It can't be somebody else. I was in an airport in China that a child got separated from their parents. The child was screaming. And this mother, that mother, the other mother tried to help the child, no good. Until the child's mother came, it took about 3 seconds in the arms of the mother and the child was fine. Same for us. The place of shelter is the place of shelter, and something else isn't going to satisfy or work. It has to be that place of shelter. So with that understanding, call feelingly for the shelter of the holy name. The practice of sadhana bhakti, according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, it's the behavior, but it's also the intention behind what we do. So be very clear while you're chanting what the intention of chanting is. What's the purpose? What's the desire, the objective? Class is over.
Thank you. His Holiness Ramaswamy.